The second reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people in those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you this morning from our Lord Jesus Christ, who talks about the Spirit, a divine wind that blows us and others in unforeseen direction towards hope. I had to wear this jacket because of all the swirls, just as a reminder of just the movement of the Spirit. It is tempting to elevate Scripture to such a sacred status that we forget about how ordinary it can be as well. For example, in the Gospels, we have a collection of letters addressed to the new Christian faith communities in Rome and Corinth and Galatia and Philippi and Ephesus, as well as to individual followers. And if we lift that sacred shroud we place upon these letters, what is revealed is ordinary and tender relationships. In today's readings, we engage the Apostle Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, a Gentile community very different from Paul's Jewish heritage. It's a very personal letter of grace and of peace that is intended to encourage and reassure the followers to work patiently and quietly while awaiting the return of Christ. Paul, speaking on behalf of himself and fellow missionaries, commends the Thessalonians for their faith and love, recalling his time that was shared with them in community. It's a warm letter of gratitude and of comfort. Isn't that a lovely letter we would all like to receive this day at Trinity as a community of faith? A letter that commends us for our efforts, perhaps not perfect, but recognizing our intention and our conviction in what we believe as a community, as we share the message of forgiveness and hope and love revealed through Christ's life and death and resurrection on Whidbey Island and beyond. We would all be inspired and encouraged, just as the Thessalonians no doubt were. Paul trusts so much in this relationship with the Thessalonians, he delves further into speaking openly about the Holy Spirit. This inspiring missional speaker states that the message of the gospel, the message of hope and love revealed through Jesus, was received by the community not only through his preaching, but also through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through them, the Holy Spirit enabled and empowered them to be examples to the people in the region and beyond. In short, Paul does not subscribe to the notion that receiving the word, embracing the gospel, is a matter of him or any preacher downloading the word for followers to simply process and accept like an online purchase from Amazon. Instead, fully receiving the meaning of Christ's life and death and resurrection is also reliant on this wild and unpredictable Spirit of God. And that unpredictable character is included in our reading from the Gospel of John this morning, which says, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And this faithful confession of the dependence upon an untamed spirit is rather discomforting. Instead of this download processing acceptance dynamic, Paul is telling his followers, and he's telling us this morning, that faith requires us to be self-aware, self-reflective, surrendering control, self-reliance, and self-righteousness. To truly grasp the meaning of the gospel, we must be vulnerable to forces beyond our control, trusting in the Holy Spirit and being open to be shaped and influenced by it so that we can welcome, as Paul says, examples. We can be examples to all in the way of Jesus. Is anyone uncomfortable yet? You're all used to surrender? It's hard. It's hard work. But let me make you a little bit more uncomfortable. Perhaps we can surrender to the Holy Spirit, trusting that we have received the gospel, that we're hearing the living word of God through our gatherings here on Sunday, through our study of the Bible, through our discernment among ourselves as a faith community. But what if Paul's words also speak to this possibility, that the Holy Spirit moves beyond our theological and community containers? Again, the Spirit blows where it chooses, not where we choose for it. So truly trusting in the Holy Spirit being fully relational with the triune God means that we must open, as individuals and as a community, we must be open to seeing the movement of God beyond our controls and even our traditionalism. As a reminder, Martin Luther perceived the church as reformed and always being reformed by the Word of God, as the Spirit blows in unexpected ways and through unexpected people and circumstances to reveal the fullness of the gospel. We do not receive the Word once, but over and over and over again and anew in our lifetime and throughout human history, allowing the Spirit to inspire us to understand and live more deeply into its message, to be transformed. And we're called to step into these unexpected encounters of the Spirit with an open heart, an open mind, an open hand, discerning its movement and receiving the Word of God. So as you go about your daily life, or as we go about our life as a community on Would-Be, let us be attentive to these encounters. Some encounters will be brief, with just a nod, while others will be enduring lifelong relationships. Some encounters will be with strangers, while others will be with loved ones. Some encounters will be with people who share similar values or zip codes and addresses, while others will be marked by differences. Some encounters will be simply actions and the others words. Some encounters will be in situations of tragedy, while others will be marked by celebration. Some encounters will be marked by special names. Did anyone read the reader board out on the church? Me too. Or Puerto Rico. Or California fires. Trust that every encounter is in its own way significant in sharing and revealing and receiving the full depth of the gospel revealed in Christ's life, death, and resurrection. So how many of you are visual learners? A few visual learners. Okay, the rest of you can just indulge us for a while. I'm a visual learner too. And the invitation is that in the video I'm about to show you, the invitation is for you to reflect on your life as a billiard ball, okay? This physics demonstration has 15 billiard balls tethered to strings of different lengths, reflective of our own special diversity. And these balls are released all at once. And we go about our daily lives, swinging to and fro, preferring predictability, controlled by schedules and obligations, and each pendulum swings independently from each other. But at times, the seeming dissonance of movement gives way to a harmonized movement in which beautiful patterns emerge. This visual feast is influenced by physical laws of nature, but provides an insight into the discord and harmony of the spirit moving through our lives in unexpected ways, through unexpected means to reveal beauty and awe. And in this video, just to make you a little bit more uncomfortable, there's no sound. It's 2 minutes long, just in case people get a little edgy, okay? But the invitation is just to focus visually on this and see how it may inspire you. Thank you. Sometimes I think that's the way we just need time to be silent and to observe sometimes to receive the Spirit. Let me conclude by simply saying that receiving the Word of God is not always a harmonious download that always affirms our assumptions, our preferences, and our worldviews, something easy for us to process and accept. Receiving the Word can be about the Holy Spirit through unexpected encounters by unexpected people in unexpected situations, opening our hearts and minds and hands and faith and gratitude wider to fully receive and boldly live the gospel. So in your tender and ordinary relationships, in your daily swinging in life, how is your rhythm being disrupted? Or how do you see yourself being influenced by the Spirit to live into a larger pattern of movement? How are you being influenced to join or challenge others around you? How may others be challenging us to receive Christ's message of radical grace, forgiveness, and love in a new way? Grace to you, and peace in your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. Amen.
As you love.